Have you ever thought about just leaving your job and going on a long adventure? If so, listen up. Hey guys, it's Ange, and today we are going to be hearing from my husband. He's going to be on an interview that I'm playing here soon, and we're also going to be hearing from my videographer and friend, Ryan Reynolds. And it's not that Ryan Reynolds, if you're familiar with the actor, that's not the Ryan Reynolds we're talking about. We are talking about my videographer friend, Ryan Reynolds. And her website is actually notthatryanreynolds.com, just to clarify. But she helps people create videos for themselves and get comfortable with that process. And then she also serves as a videographer. And that's what she's about to do for Ian and I. She's going to be helping us create a documentary and some of the big adventures that we have coming up, because we're about to take over 8 months away from work, from all the things, to live out of our hiking bags. And we're going to do it in two different kind of scenarios that I'm about to talk to you about. So, but what's coming up is basically last night, Ryan had interviewed Ian and I. We did not see it coming. We didn't plan for it. So it's like raw. It's us sitting on our porch with all the normal noises in the background and all the things, right? Like the real life stuff. Nothing is really edited. It's just Ian and I. And we're answering some questions that Ryan thought people would want to know when it comes to like how have we been able to take on this adventure for ourselves and create that. How did we design our life to be able to do such a thing? And then some of the things around what are we excited about, what are our fears, and all of that. So what, before we get on to that clip that we're going to play for you, so you're going to hear, what voices are you going to hear? You're going to hear my voice, you're going to hear Ian's voice, my husband, and you're going to hear Ryan's voice, okay? But before we get on with that, I want to explain a little bit more about what are we doing. So for the next 2 months, we'll be hiking the Camino de Santiago. And it's not going to take us a full 2 months, but the last part of it, we're going to be traveling around, living out of our hiking bags. So what the heck is the Camino de Santiago? You might have heard me mention it on the show, but a lot of people are not familiar with what it is. I know I wasn't. Actually, you want to know how I found out about what the Camino de Santiago was? Ian and I were hiking a trail that led you up to Machu Picchu. We were in Peru hiking, and we're talking to one of the oldest women hikers with us, and we're like, okay, you got to tell us what are your favorite hikes, because she was hiking amazingly. And to be like, I was so proud of her, because being like she was like in her later 60s, and it was not an easy hike, and she was just doing awesome. But anyhow, she told us that her favorite hike was the Camino de Santiago. And we're like, what the heck is the Camino de Santiago? And then we got curious about it, and we ended up finding out that it's a very famous trail in Spain. And there are 7 routes that you can take, and it's backed. Well, the reason, it has a lot of history to it. So people have been doing this pilgrimage, that's what they refer to it as, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So there's a lot of history. A lot of people do it for various reasons. Some do it for their spiritual, they think of it as like a spiritual journey for them. Some do it for the adventure. Some do it to honor someone that they loved. I mean, there's so many reasons for doing it. But there's also, like I said, 7 different routes that you can take. The route that Ian and I chose is the Camino del Norte. It's also often referred to as the Northern Way. It's over 500 miles long, and it goes along the Atlantic coast of Spain. It starts near in this town called Irun. I don't know if I'm pronouncing things right, so forgive me if anyone's familiar and I say it wrong. But it's over near France. So we're starting around there. And then you go along the coast, and we're going to end in the town of the Santiago de Compostela. That's where the area that everybody ends. And that's your whole point. You're trying to aim to end in that area. And that's where the remains of the Apostle St. James is located. So think of it as basically we're in Spain, we're hiking along the coast, we're hiking right near France, that's where we're starting, and then we're going to end, I think it's like 200 miles shy of Portugal or something like that. But then again, Ian and I are going to be hiking all over, and we plan to end like hiking around Portugal, because the path that we're taking, we're guessing it's going to take us about 31 to 35 days, depending on, you know, what happens out there and how many miles we hike. And you know, the terrain and all of that. We're hiking about 15 to 20-ish miles a day. These are questions. The reason I'm telling you guys this stuff is because people have been asking me all about this journey. How many miles? What does it look like? They're just super curious. And I'm super excited because since Ryan is helping us create this documentary, you guys are going to be able to see what it's really like. And the Camino de Santiago is pretty awesome because it's really doable by a lot of people and a lot of different physical fitness levels. Because there's so many ways to do it. You can bike the thing, you can ride horses, you can walk some of it and hop on like buses for other parts of it. You can really just make it work for you. And the terrain is less challenging than, of course, the Appalachian Trail, which I'm about to talk about in a bit. So we're about to embark on this journey to Spain to just backpack around. And, you know, we don't know what's all going to happen. We don't have a plan of where we're staying. We have the first night planned. And then from there, I'm not really sure where we're going to be. But hopefully it'll be like hostels along the way. And we'll just see how it goes as we embark on the journey. And you're going to see, because you'll see the documentary later on. So that's one thing that we're doing. And then we're going to come back home after being away. And then we're going to get things ready to leave in the springtime to go hike the Appalachian Trail. So if you're not familiar with the Appalachian Trail stems from Maine to Georgia or Georgia to Maine, however you want to look at it. It's over 2,000 miles long. It's 2,190 miles long. And it goes through 14 states, including Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Georgia, and 8 national forests. So that's a lot of terrain that you're covering. And you're walking, hiking the whole thing, and obviously you have your pack that probably weighs 30 pounds plus. I mean, if you can get away with 30 pounds, that's pretty awesome. But then you have to think about like your food and all the things. Guys, every little bit of weight matters so much. And if you're an avid hiker, you've carried weight, you know that just every little bit counts. It can feel like so many pounds on you when you've been walking so many miles, like just a little bit. This is why people are like shaving off the edge of a toothbrush, right? Because over time, that compound effect of that on your body, it's not good, especially if you're out there for 6 months like we plan to be. So give or take, depending obviously what happens out there. So that's what's happening. And there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. And there's a lot of unknowns, right? And you don't train to hike as long as we are with carrying that much weight. It's not something you can train for. Because can you train to hike 8+ hours a day carrying additional weight on your body, going through like all kinds of different types of terrain, being in crappy conditions at times, being super, you don't train for that. We don't even have the time to train for that, right? But we are choosing to embark on these journeys. So before I get on with the clip, people often wonder why. Like, why are you guys choosing to do this? So I want to talk about that because we don't talk about this in the interview with Ryan. So why are we doing this? So first, let me answer, why are we doing the Camino de Santiago? One is, like I said, we heard that it's a really awesome adventure. People love it, and we're just so curious to do it. So just for the adventure, basically the adventure. But the other thing is because we want to get used to carrying our stuff, everything we need on our backs and hiking for very long distances. It's a way that, even though I say you can't really train for the Appalachian Trail, it's a way that you can get used to how your gear feels on you. It's a place that you can make mistakes and you can go into a hostel at night to go to sleep. Like, you can go into a pharmacy if you need to. So it's a good place to kind of train a little bit with like the feeling of what it feels like to hike long distances, have stuff on your back, and things can go wrong there and you're less SOL than you would be on the Appalachian Trail when things go astray, like testing your gear, all the things. Okay, so basically two reasons. One, for the adventure, and two, to get us used to being a through hiker and learning from that experience. That's why we're doing the Camino de Santiago. And then the second, let me give you another reason. Another reason is because the world be crazy nowadays. You know what I mean? Sometimes out there, and like, it's nice to get away at times. So we're feeling like, let's just go out and be out there in nature and be with ourselves and, you know. So just to get away too, that's another reason. And the last reason, and let me clarify something. And you know how people say that you want to design a life that you don't want a vacation from? I 100% believe that. Design a life that you don't feel like you need to always run away from. I feel like I have a life like that. Like when I'm at home, I love being at home. I really do. But I also think like sometimes like the climate with like all of the craziness that's happening out there, sometimes you're just like, I just want to go in the woods so I don't have to hear the news and the awful things that are happening. You know what I mean? I don't listen to news anyways. Okay, that's a side rant. So moving on. So the Appalachian Trail, why the heck are we choosing to do that? It's really important that you understand your why for doing it, because when you're out there and you're freezing, you're uncomfortable and you're hungry and you're hurting, you need to think like, why am I doing this? Because that question's going to pop up for you. You better have a good answer, right? So my answer is because I want to make myself proud. Like I want to challenge my mind and see, you know, as cliche as it sounds, see what I'm made of. Like I want to prove to myself that I can do hard things, because I feel like the confidence that comes from that will be so powerful in my own business, and just having faith that things will all work out. Because there's a lot of times when you're traveling, you have to rely on your faith that all will work out, because yeah, you get yourself in some crazy situations and it's just completely right out of your control. And you're like, please, God, help me. I don't know. Like that's happened to me so many times. But I feel like it's a way that I can really practice my faith, make myself proud, and do something that be in nature. Like I love being in nature, and just you meet so many cool people. Yeah, so those are really my main reasons. I know with Ian, too, it's the same thing. He says that he really just wants to make himself proud and take on this journey. It's been a bucket list item for him because he loves hiking and being in nature. And we feel like we're blessed to be able to do such a thing, because a lot of people would want to do this, but they haven't designed their lives to take off 6 months to, because, you know, not only do you have to take off 6 months and you're planning your life for that, like you're also without income for 6 months. You know, unless you've created passive income generating sources while you're out there. And I haven't really got to the point of creating those passive income generating sources yet, because most of my stuff now, it does take my one-on-one time. So anyways, those are the reasons why. And now that that's all said and done, you have a glimpse into that. Let's start talking. Let's just go to the interview. I'm going to play it right now. Here we go.
Like we talked about, people want to know what do you do? What do you guys do for a living? How are you actually able to take 6 months off of work to actually facilitate this?
What do you do for a living?
Well, I am a dentist, and Ange does a little of everything.
No, what we always want to say is when people look at him, we're always like, they are always like,
yeah, what do you think I am? A barista.
Yeah, he's got all of that. A barista, an artist. What else have you
tour guide, like, yeah. Traveling.
So you're a dentist who works a 9-to-5, like a typical 9-to-5 job.
6 days a week, and quite a bit of flexibility, so we can take off kind of when we want. But I mean, there'll be weeks where we'll go 14, 15 days working in a row without taking time off, but then we can take, you know, more time off.
So of that. I think the answer to people's questions when they're always like, how do you guys take so much time off and then still work? Like you work a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't necessarily work a 9-to-5. But the reason we're able to do that is because you're really good at negotiating as far as like flexibility in our schedule. And we do work a lot at it, like a short chunk of time. We put a lot of hours in, and then okay, I won't get into that because I find my career coaching self coming out right now, like the way that you can create this for yourself. So that segues into me. So I do I help people transition into doing work that's more meaningful to them. Like I'm a legit career coach. And then, so I work from home doing that. And then I also travel doing consulting projects that help the military prepare for crisis training scenarios. And that's the consulting piece of my business. So I do coaching and consulting, and it's worked out well because I can create consistent income through my consulting projects. And then my coaching projects, they're more a little sporadic as I do online courses and things like that. But it's a way that we can,
And I think the most important of all of it isn't necessarily what we do for a living. It's what we do with what we have and what we've earned. Like we live super frugally. We've had a lot of student loan debt, just like a lot of other people, a lot of just regular everyday.
Well, I think more than costs, a lot of other people.
But we live very, very small. I mean, we live in a tiny house, 394 square foot tiny home, and are very, very frugal. We buy all of our clothes, probably 90% secondhand.
even our hiking, some of our hiking stuff is.
Yeah, and we just make good use of what we have and try to maximize everything and be efficient and live within our means.
So I guess, like, I feel like it's a complicated.
Prioritize travel because other people, everybody has their money pits, yeah. Right? And what other people maybe have is a money pit. We don't. And then in other ways, people, spend their money more frugally and like travel. And
we've intentionally designed our life this way, as far as we advocate for the flexibility that we want so that we can travel the way that we do. So if we're taking on a new role, we're going to prioritize that role is going to offer us the flexibility that we need to travel. And if that's not going to be a thing, then we're not going to take
on. And I want to be real. I think when most people think of traveling, they think of glamour, like expensive, staying at like really fancy hotels, like all the rich. Like when we travel, I think it's very unique. Like we travel on a shoestring. We are eating at grocery stores. We're staying at Airbnbs when we're splurging.
Yes.
And we're just little hacks that we've developed over the years, kind of gathered in our toolbox and have created a system that allows us to travel really, really inexpensively and efficiently.
Yeah, you can have a lot of fun with a little bit of money. And people seem to think
don't realize that sometimes.
And people also think that you need to have a ton of flexibility in your schedule. And you don't necessarily do to have like a really awesome adventure. Yeah, what we're doing now is you're taking a big chunk of time off, but our adventuring didn't start that way. Like it started with a long weekend or started with just a weekend where we would drive. We used to drive to Florida.
We drive like 8 hours for a 1.5 day trip.
But we just wanted adventures. And then now it's built up to this and we've learned how to negotiate and like save money. And there's so much stuff people spend money on that I would say is just a waste. And
subscriptions, you name it. Yeah, there's lots of things that add up and little things are big things,
Yeah, and you can have awesome adventures. So I feel like it's a complicated answer to the question of like how we got to this. But in a nutshell, I would say
we don't live like most people.
No,
our lifestyle is very, very different from most people's lifestyle.
Being intentional about how we spend our money, and then being intentional about how we spend our time and asking for the things that we want, advocating for the schedule that we want. Designing our life very intentionally when it comes to our careers and the sources of income that we bring in. And then another side note is like making yourself making yourself like irreplaceable in a sense, because I think that people always are afraid that when you take on this kind of journey, then like, am I going to be able to get my job back? And most people don't even want their job back, but let's say, am I going to be able to find another job? But like, if you develop this skill set, that is highly favored, then you have a lot of pull in negotiating for your flexibility and things like that. And I think that that's what's happened with your career, because you've really made yourself stand out so that they want to keep you and they allow that flexibility for you. And I think similar to my career and what I've done, just thinking out, not being the average Joe, like that allows so much opportunity for you.
And having faith, there's a risk with everything in life, right? I mean, yeah, there's always something that can happen, whether you're traveling abroad. And, questions I get asked are people are like, oh man, is it safe? And it's like, well, nowhere is safe. Home isn't safe. America, there's a lot of unsafe areas in America too. But, knowing that things will work out and you kind of roll with the punches. And when you travel, things always go wrong and not according to plan, but that's part of the adventure.
That is part of it.
Like, that's what makes travel fun in some ways.
And you get so proud of yourself when you figure it out. Like going back to like the fact that we don't know how to speak, like I don't know how to speak Spanish fluently, not even.
How do you learn? You put yourself in uncomfortable situations.
We know that we're going to, that's going to be the language barriers. Like that shows up with traveling, but there's like this fun side of it, like figuring it out. When we hike the AT, we know there's going to be times it's going to be extremely uncomfortable. We're going to need additional things. We don't have access to it, but there's so much beauty and joy that comes from like figuring that out. I don't know. Like that's how I feel.
Yeah.
That makes it so fun.
For sure.
Okay, just real quick, I want to say that, can we please just, I think that we could have, like, you guys could be like the Chip and Joanna Gaines of hiking. I swear to God, just watching you talk, I'm like, please, can I follow you everywhere for the rest of my life and film you? That's all I want.
Yes, that'd be so awesome. We should.
Oh my God, it would be so awesome. It'd be so awesome.
I haven't met anybody like us before. We're weird. Like, we don't have many people we can relate to because, yeah.
But you're fascinating. You're fascinatingly weird, and you're both so well spoken. So you're fun to listen to.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. Thank you. I feel like I just see so much potential of things, like, I don't know, like becoming. I like the fact that you said the faith thing, because that's something that's really important, because I think people don't embark on these journeys, like these long journeys of taking 2 months away from work or 6 months, because there's so much fear around losing their
job. So many roadblocks. Yeah. And that limiting beliefs, and then you're not going to make any risks, and then you don't go anywhere.
And then you don't enjoy your life. Like, I always think about it as, like, you can be uncomfortable living the life that you don't want, or uncomfortable going after the life you do want. Either way, you're going to be uncomfortable. Right. So, like, I think that's the biggest thing that holds people back, because, like, me and you, like, we're willing to embark on these journeys and shift things, sometimes disappoint people when they're like, wait, you're taking that much time off? What? Like, but I feel like that's what causes us to enjoy our lives more, is because we're willing to take more of the risk, because we have the faith that no matter what, it's going to work out. Like, I even think about, like, okay, so I walk away from my consulting contracts to be gone for minimum 8 months. If you think about it, in the next year, will they want me back? Will they replace me? Will, like, you know, those questions, like, come up. But I just think, like, everything is happening for me always, period. So if that happens, then that happens, it's to my benefit. Like, a new opportunity will open up for me. Like, I feel like I'm always being taken care of. So, like, any situation I'm in, I'm going to be taken care of. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't like prepare for the situation, which is,
but that's the thing we've talked about too. It's like preparing to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
It's always a mixture of both sides. You don't want one extreme or the other. You have to have a mixture of everything in life. Too much of anything is a bad thing. Too much water, you drown. But, like, you have to prepare to be spontaneous. You know, you can't just always be spontaneous, or when you can't always live in a shell, you know, and not go out. You have to, like, prepare, do preparations to then allow the space for being spontaneous and having an adventure. And
yeah, and I think about it as, like, that's what it means to, like, intentionally design your life. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to be intentional, but you also need to be flexible, because life is not, like, it's unpredictable. Like, you don't know what's going to get thrown at you, you know? Mm-hmm.
I think this is a perfect time to talk about some of the fears that you guys have. Ooh. And you can take it together, you can take it individually, but or we can even start with what's the thing that you're most excited about, if you want to go that route, and then talk about fear, but whichever one floats your boat first.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about fear first to get that out of the way. What is the thing that you're afraid of the most?
Gosh, I think the thing I'm number one most afraid of would probably be not finishing, because I'm a competitive person, most competitive with myself. But maybe even more fearful of that would be myself or you getting injured. That would be something that'd be pretty high on the fear list. But other than that, really just not finishing, probably.
I wasn't sure what your answer would be to that, but I knew that I knew somehow it involved me, like the fear around something to do with me getting hurt or something like that. Cause I feel like you're always kind of obsessing about that in a good way, which is why I love you. But honey, can you shut that door? Because I can hear the dryer and I don't want it to. Okay. So, I think for me too, the similar fear is like not so much with the Camino, but with the AT, as far as like not finishing. And that's a fear of mine, and it's more associated with like things like injuries, especially because I've had a lot of issues with my feet and my knees, and I think that stems, like, where it triggers your fear around. Absolutely. How that's going to be for me, because a while back Ian and I were traveling to Thailand and we got in a moped crash and we tore or I tore my ACL, had a little crack in my kneecap, my PCL. It was like, my knee was like, yeah, like it barely was bad. Hanging there.
It's not a totally unsubstantiated fear that I have.
No. And then
it's very real.
We were on an island, so we had to take multiple ferries to get to this island. And then I had to get back after the moped crash. It was like, we had road rash all over us, and talk about a language barrier. Like, we did not speak the language at all. It was hard to find anyone that even spoke English. So stepping up, I watched my kneecap move over to the side, and then we had to get back on the moped, go to the hospital, all the stuff.
Take you home from the hospital with a bad knee and crutches, and stop. Yeah. We'll stop at the pharmacy and get the crutches. All on the moped.
The moped. So after it crashed, I got back on the moped to go to the hospital, which they couldn't really help me there. And then we went to, what was cool is because of his doctor mindset, he knew like this is the prescriptions and stuff they were trying to give me, and like what we could pay for out of like, which, like what was a ripoff and what wasn't. So anyways, one of the things that was going to be a ripoff was the crutches. So we found out that the pharmacy down the road had crutches. So we got back on the moped, drove to the pharmacy, had held these crutches as we were like riding this moped. I can't walk on my knee. So anyways, long story short, we made it back to the US after like the hospital, and after going to like multiple bus ride, ferry ride, several ferries through different islands.
Bangkok from the remote island that we were on.
And we had, mind you, like we have two hiking packs that are huge. So not only does Ian, in a sense, have to carry me, he also has to carry our hiking packs. So it was really quite a journey to get home, and very devastating for me as being someone who's like pretty active. Like I didn't know when I'd be able to walk again, and we just moved into a new place. So anyways, long story short, I never got surgery on my ACL tear. I wanted to see what I could do with like my own mind. And some people would be like, you're nuts, but it seemed to work out okay, because now I have like full motion with my knee. It's pretty stable. We've done a lot of hikes since then. I haven't had any issues, knock on wood, but that's a fear because I also haven't been hiking around with a bunch of extra weight on my back, and that's causing pressure on my knee
for longer than 5 days. And yeah. We're going to be out for 35 days.
Yeah. So that's a concern. 20 miles a day. And then also for me, it's just, I think like, well, one, I hate being cold. I hate being cold, but you know, I'm such a wuss. You are a wuss about it too. And then I also like, I think there in the back of my mind too, like I, with me having faith around everything, I do have faith that things always work out, but I also feel like leaving stuff behind that I've worked hard to create, like with my business, and not having someone around that consistently run that part of my business with like my coaching and keep people like, hey, remember I'm here still, like I still want to help you like design your life. You know, I feel like being kind of off the radar, like in that long, that scares me too. Like in a sense, I don't know. Make sense?
Yeah. For sure.
So that's a fear of mine, but I know.
I think with leaving your job behind, hoping you'll be able to pick up where you left off when you when you come back, which is just a leap of faith, you know.
Yeah.
Which is still tough.
So
difficult to do.
The next question then that we can lead to is the, what are you most excited about?
Gosh, I'm most excited about what I don't know yet. All the adventures that I don't even know, and all the people I'm going to meet that I don't even know, probably gonna make a lot of really good friendships and have a lot of really good stories that we'll probably, you know, take with us to the grave.
Yeah.
Cause this is the trip of a lifetime for most people. And I hope this is one of many, but I'm prepared for it to be a pretty, pretty big trip for us. So I think I'm excited for the adventure, and,
that's what I'm excited about.
Making myself
too.
Proud, you know, making ourselves proud of doing something together as a couple that we can do together and be proud of each other and us about. So
that's the same for me. It's like, all I'm excited about all the stuff I don't know, like who I'm going to meet. I'm excited about making myself proud. Like that's one of my favorite things about the adventure is that, or going on these journeys, is like going through the hard stuff and like in the moment when you're in it, you're like, I don't want to be in this, uncomfortable, this sucks. But like when it's all said and done, like you're so proud of yourself and like the stories that you have to tell, like that's so fun for me to be able to have a story to tell. And that's what gets me so excited about this, sharing this journey with others via video. It's like just sharing like the stories that we're getting, and then to inspire more people to not live the I guess, the ordinary life, go out there and put yourself in these situations that might make you a little uncomfortable, because it's going to help you just design a life that you're really proud of. Like, that's a part of it. Like, you have to be willing to deal with the discomfort to, I truly believe, I don't know anyone that's I'm so happy and joyous in my life that has not faced some kind of discomfort.
But isn't that the quote, isn't that Dave Ramsey that says, to live a life like no one else, you have to live a life like no one else first?
Yeah. And that's what it is. And I want more people to see that that it's possible for them. And if we could do that, you could do it. And if you work a 9-to-5, that doesn't need an excuse, because you work a 9-to-5, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you don't have enough money and you the money thing is holding you back, just so people are aware, Ian and I lived on $32,000 a year that paid all of our bills, and we did, and 10,000 of that was traveling.
Yeah, that's so including that's a travel
extremely
budget.
And we paid on our student loans during that time. So I think that a lot of people think I need to make 100K plus a year to be able to travel, you guys do. And it's that's evidence that that's not true. You don't need that much.
You said to live small, you know, be frugal, be good with what you have. And
yeah.
All right, y'all, that was the interview. So happy that you got to hear from my husband and Ryan. It's so fun to share other people that I love with you guys, on the show. I just think it's fun. I wish that we could all just get together and hang out and have, you know, coffee or tea and just talk about life. I think that would be a blast. So with that being said, I want to clarify something. We're talking about doing these long journeys away, and that's not really something that everybody even wants to do, right? Or makes sense for them in their life. There's so many things that can complicate it, like children, and it just might not be the best fit for everybody. But I want you to think about for yourself, what would work well for you? What kind of adventure would serve you in your life? And maybe it's just a weekend thing, you know, that would be, you get to go and explore a new place to you. You get to step out of your comfort zone, try something new, whatever that is. It doesn't need to be a 2-month, 6-month long journey. Let's be real. That's not, I said, it's not something that is for everyone. But having adventure and creating that in our lives, I think that is for everyone in some way. So just take this episode as an opportunity for you to dream of what that might look like for you. I'm thinking about some of my former clients, some of the ventures that they are embarking on now, cruises that they're doing with their family where they never before did a cruise, and that's something that they've been able to intentionally plan for and create in their lives, or a long weekend, or, you know, just a little hiking adventure, and they've never gone hiking before and they want to try it out. Whatever is new to you, whatever is an adventure for you, just think about what kind of adventures you want to create coming up. I know I repeated myself a million times, but I feel like it's something that we can all journal on. What kind of adventures do I want to have in my life? What might that look like for me? And how can I go about preparing for that kind of adventure? Because any adventure that we take, there is some preparation that is involved in that. Even just deciding I'm thinking about an adventure I'm going to have for dinner tonight. Side note, where could we eat for dinner that could be really fun tonight? Because I don't feel like cooking anything. And I was I've been obsessed with poke bowls. Because of Ryan, we were out doing a consulting project and she introduced me to those. It's basically like sushi in a bowl. That's how I feel. And I'm and Ian hasn't tried it yet. And I'm maybe I'll pick him up from work tonight, because this morning he worked on my teeth. So I dropped him off at work. And plus he has his old school cars in the shop. It's been in the shop for a month or something. I don't know if they're ever going to even finish this thing. It's hilarious though. We're laughing about, we forgot. It was funny. After we got done recording yesterday, we turned off the recording and Ian was I forgot to mention about our cars. And just the fact that in order for us to live this life, there's a lot of sacrifices we made. And one of them we've intentionally sacrificed is we don't care about spending a bunch of money on our cars. So our cars are older, and because we want our money to go towards traveling. It's based on what we value. And I'm here to say that the whole point of this podcast is that I want you to intentionally design a life that feels right to you. It doesn't need to look like my life. It doesn't need to look like your neighbor's life, right? It's the life that feels right to you, that's in alignment with your values. The thing that we value is adventure and travel, which is why we skimp out on paying for things like car payments and others, like maybe clothing or whatever. We don't value that as much. Although I've been getting particular about like quality over quantity, and I have been paying for a lot more for things, but it's more about intention behind like the quality. That's a random side note. So anyways, I want you to think about too, what are those values that are important to you? And like, what does honoring them look like in your life? Because and when it comes to the adventure that you might want to create in your life, that's probably you honoring that value of having adventure, having freedom, enjoying different things. Like if you're a listener of this podcast, it's because you enjoy that stuff or you wouldn't be listening to the show, right? That's what got you here. You want that life of freedom. You want more adventures in your life. You want to spark more joy, right? So if you want that because you value it, I want to say that there will be there's sacrifices that you will have to make to honor your values. That's a part of the deal. And your choices might not look like everybody else's. You might say no to things because you want to say yes to other things. So for example, Ian and I have said no to buying brand new things because we want to say yes to more adventures. And we needed to have the income for the adventures instead of having it wrapped up in, you know, other big expenses. So it might be you saying no to going out to eat with a bunch of friends that want to drink all night and eat a bunch of horrible food all night because you want to say yes to honoring your value of health, or you are working on, you're training yourself to become a strong and fit person, and that action isn't in alignment with who you want to be. Like, I want people to start to think more about this in their life. Like, you know, who are you training to be? I just talked about it today on my Facebook group. If you're not in my Facebook group, The Intentionalist, you can get on there. Sometimes I pop on there and I share some random bits of wisdom. And I was talking about, who are you training to be? You know, we've been, in a sense, training to be a through hiker. And there's things that we've been thinking and researching, and there's habits that we've been developing that a through hiker would have so that we can align with that identity. And the same thing for you is like, who are you training to be? And is it part, if something is not part of the training plan, then don't do the thing, right? Because it's not going to help lead you to that. So like, what is the training plan? I mean, there's so many, we can go deeper into this. Like, this could be a whole nother episode, right? So we should probably stop right here. So with that being said, just from this episode, I want you to take the time to think on what would adventure look like to you? How can you bring that more into your life? How can you honor your values more? All right. And that's it. I hope you have an awesome day and you enjoyed this episode. If you did, you know what to do. Leave us a review if you haven't. And just go out there and design a life that you're really proud of. Talk to you soon. Bye.